to a passage of Scripture that we've been considering during the month of December. On the first Sunday of this month, I spoke on a verse from 1 John, and it stated, "The Son of God has come." And we have been focusing on that. We have focused on that alongside a promise that I spoke on that evening from Ezekiel, "And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes." And we are looking at a passage from Philippians chapter 2. If you've got a Bible, it might be worth you opening it, and I'll just read it, and then we can focus on the particular element of this passage that I want us to see this morning. So Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, Paul writes, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And we've got this great picture, this great understanding of the reality of human history. It's written here as an encouragement, as an exhortation. We should have the mind of Christ. That's what Paul is writing in verse 5. And he goes through this section and he talks about the Lord Jesus Christ making himself nothing, humbling himself, being born. And this morning, I want us to see in the middle of verse 8, he humbled himself by becoming obedient. And that's what I really want to focus on. Obviously, the verse goes on that he became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. But the Lord Jesus Christ became obedient. Now, for many people, and particularly when we get to this point in time in the calendar year, we see Christmas as the end. Everything has been preparing for this. On the whole, it's the ladies, but some of the men have been baking cakes, have been making puddings. The ladies have been out buying the presents, and the whole commercialism, the whole pressure of Christmas, and it's not simply commercialism. I personally love Christmas because it is an opportunity to be able to share together, to take time to be as a family, to give gifts, and obviously to receive gifts. It's a wonderful time, but there's a way in which when we get up on Boxing Day, we can think, it's over, it's the end. But in reality, Christmas is the beginning. It is the beginning of God revealing his purposes. If you want to know the end of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to go 3 or 4 months later into the year, 33 years later into the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he prayed on the night of his betrayal, he said, "I have finished the work that you have given me to do." At that point, he had not completely finished the work because he hadn't died on the cross. But he had obeyed God for 33 years. He had obeyed God's purposes. He had struggled with the demands of living in obedience to God in Trinity. He had committed himself to it, but here he is, and he is working out God's purposes. So I want us to focus on this attitude, this attribute of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. He becoming obedient. Now, we live in a culture which says, nobody tells me what to do. I'm my own boss. I will work this out for myself. And sadly, even within the Christian world, people can have this attitude. They can say, well, I've got myself into this mess. I will get myself out. I'm the one who's made mistakes. I am not going to look for help from anyone else. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Glory, we are told that he became obedient, or he was becoming obedient. Now, the first thing that we have here is an apparent problem, because how can the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who reigns in heaven and earth, the one who created this world, how can he become obedient? Who should he obey? He is the all-knowing God. So, in a way, why should he need to learn to obey? Because in Hebrews 5, it says that he learned obedience by the things he suffered. And essentially, what Paul is saying to us here, and what we are to learn and to understand from this, is that although the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord of glory, and throughout eternity he had not had to obey anyone, in order to fulfill God's purposes, he had to go through this learning process. He had to move from being the one who spoke with authority at the dawn of creation and brought the world into being. He had to move to the point where he became the babe of Bethlehem, and he was utterly helpless as a human being. He then had to move into becoming the worshipping believer in his teenage years and into his manhood. And he had to again come to that point where, having exercised his creative power at the dawn of creation, as he moved through this world, he was able to say to the wind, be still, and the wind dropped, and the sea was calm. He was able to say to the demon possessed, and more in particular, more to the demon who did the possession, come out of him. And he exercised this authority, and he exercised this power. In many ways, this isn't a good illustration, but if you think of the journey of a caterpillar, begins life as a caterpillar. It moves into the chrysalis, and it develops its full beauty as a butterfly or a moth. And there is this continuity. There is this process. There is this change. And the Lord Jesus Christ, although he had all authority, he was willing to learn. In effect, you can say the whole of Christ's life was becoming. He was becoming something different. And as I said, Hebrews 5 says he learnt obedience by the things that he suffered. And the idea here from this word learn is that he learnt through experience. You can know the facts, can't you? You can be told if you touch a fire, it will burn you. And if you're wise, you'll be happy with the intellectual facts. But you put your finger into the fire, and you will learn by experience. Not only does fire burn, but it hurts. And in effect, this is the process that the Lord Jesus Christ was going through. He knew the effects of sin. He knew the effects of the fall on the human being, because with God in Trinity, he had imposed those effects. He was never subject to the fall, but he lived amongst people who were sinful, and he saw the consequences of their sin. He saw people who grew old, and he was moved with compassion towards them. He wept with those who knew bereavement, and he learnt not simply intellectually, but through his own experience. Christ knew the whole course of history, and yet here he hears and he suffers with his people. Back in Exodus, when God called Moses, he said, "I have heard the cries of my people, and I have seen their sufferings." Now, as a human being, he is here amongst it. He learnt obedience, or becoming obedient. And this word, obedient, can be translated giving ear to or listening in order to be submissive. We often criticize our children for having selective hearing. Wives will often accuse their husbands of having selective hearing. But the point here is that Jesus was prepared to listen and to submit. He was prepared to hear God's word and to do it. And this is illustrated in two statements in the scriptures. The child Jesus, we are told that as a 12-year-old, he went back to Nazareth and he was subject to his parents. As a child, he listened to Mary and Joseph and he was obedient to them. When the Lord Jesus Christ was goaded by his opponents and they wanted him to work miracles and they wanted him to do their will, he said, "The Son of Man has come not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." The Lord Jesus Christ, although he had all authority, he became obedient for us, living not only as a human being, but living within his culture. He observed the festivals that had been laid down in the Old Testament. He lived in a country under occupation and was prepared to pay taxes both to the temple and in the Roman setting. He was a man, and like all of us, he suffered tiredness. He grew hungry. And what seemed to be an apparent problem, that he, with all this authority, how could he become this? Well, his life illustrates this, that he did. He became these things in order that he might enter into our sufferings and might be the means of our salvation. So, having seen an apparent problem, let's now see our inherited problem. We are told in this passage that he learnt obedience, or becoming obedient, to the point of death, even death on the cross. I want to begin this part of my message with a contrast. Listen carefully. Jesus obeyed God, and as a result, he died. Becoming obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. Let's go back thousands of years. Bishop Usher would say 4,000 years to the Garden of Eden. God said to Adam, "You have got everything you need. You've got all that you need for life. If you obey me," now these weren't the words recorded, but this in effect is what God was saying. "If you obey me, you will have life. If you disobey, and you take of that fruit, you will die. Do you see the contrast? Adam, disobey, death. The Lord Jesus Christ, obey, death. Jesus Christ inherited our problem. Adam sinned, and he brought God's judgment upon the human race. So the first man was disobedient. He failed to learn in the way that God wanted him to learn. And as a result, we have all inherited the effects of sin and of the fall. That was the first man. But let me remind you of the first prophet. And we won't argue whether this is strictly true or not, but I've used this description of Moses. Moses did not disobey God. Sorry, did not obey God. He did not learn obedience. And as a result, he was not allowed to lead God's people into the promised land. Moses was not barred from the promised land because he had murdered an Egyptian. He was banned from the promised land because he disobeyed God. There are two stories in the Old Testament where the people cry out for water. In the first one, in Exodus 17, God says to Moses, go to the rock, strike the rock, and water will come out. A wonderful miracle. Moses obeyed God. But later on, the people of Israel were again moaning, and Moses went to God, what do I do? And God said to him, listen carefully, go to the rock, speak to the rock, and water will come out. Moses, like many of us in leadership, went to the rock and he spoke to the people and he said, you've made me so angry, I've got to do it again. And he struck the rock. He wasn't judged for his anger towards the people. He was judged because of his disobedience to God. Let me take you to the first king of Israel. Not David, but Saul. God raised him up in response to the people's demands. And Samuel said to him, go out and destroy the Amalekites. Take no plunder, because it all has to be sacrificed to God. These people have opposed the people of God over the years. So Saul led the people into battle. There was a mighty victory. But what did they do? They saved the king. They saved some of the animals. And Saul came back to Samuel and he said, I have obeyed God. And Samuel said, if you've obeyed God, then what's this bleating of sheep that I hear in my ears? He said, oh, we've saved those things in order to offer them in sacrifice. Samuel said to Saul, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. So we see the first man, we see the first prophet, we see the first king, raised up with great purposes, but none of them learned obedience in the way that the Lord Jesus Christ learned obedience. And friends, we are the descendants of Adam. And there is a propensity within us which will always make it difficult for us to obey God. But as Samuel said to Saul, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. Christ came knowing the shortcomings of his predecessors. He knew the battle. He knew the opposition, but he obeyed God. So we have an apparent problem. We have our inherited problem. And we have a completed problem. Because Jesus, throughout his life, lived with a problem. The Lord of life, the author of this world, knew that he had to die. Joseph and Mary both struggled with their responsibilities. We read about the struggle that Joseph had this morning, where he'd learnt that his betrothed wife, it was more than an engaged couple. There was a commitment by both families. He knew that she had become pregnant. He didn't understand how this could be, and he was prepared to put it away. And he struggled. But when he heard that Jesus was to be the name of this child and that he would save his people from their sins, Joseph, in effect, learned obedience. We were looking at Mary last week, not a lady of unbelief, but a lady who wasn't sure how God would work his purposes out. And having met with the angel, she was able to say, "The Lord's will be done." This insignificant couple, a carpenter and his teenage wife, rise as examples of obedience. Jesus was brought up in a family that knew the benefits of obedience. Jesus knew the struggle, and throughout his life there was that struggle, that temptation to turn away from the purposes of God. But friends, our verse in Philippians says that he became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. If you want to know the climax of the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, then go to Calvary and see a man who is physically exhausted, who has come to the end of himself, and yet he is able to say, "It is finished." He had finished the work that God had given him to do. Through 33 years of his human experience, a decision that had been made in eternity past was brought to completion as the Lord Jesus Christ was hung on the cross and nailed to die in the place of all who will believe. Jesus knew temptations. He knew the temptation to misuse his power. He knew the temptation to self-aggrandizement and people wanting to make him king. He knew the misuse or the temptation to misuse power. But the problem that he lived with, having to die, was completed when he died on the cross. The babe of Bethlehem came with that purpose. But I want to draw this together now in a final application to us, because we have a continuing problem and we have a continuing provision. We, like Adam, Moses, Saul, Paul, Peter, all know the reality of temptation. Paul could say, "The things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, I do." The Apostle Peter, when Jesus told him that he had to go to the cross, tried to prevent Jesus going to the cross. And we all struggle with doing the right thing. The church today, I believe, is weak because people want to make their own decisions rather than living in obedience to God through the Scripture and the direction of the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you, friends, how is your day decided? How do you make decisions? How do you reach a conclusion? This is our ongoing problem, and it is vital that we learn obedience. But I want to tell you, we, like Adam, like Moses, like Saul, fail. And therefore, I want to remind you of the provision. The only one who was obedient to the point of death, death on the cross. He is the only one who can deal with your problem. Take your problem to him. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to be merciful to you. Ask him to give you the Holy Spirit to lead you through life, that you, like he, might learn obedience. And in the day and age in which we live, when persecution gets stronger in many areas, we might indeed have to come to that point of being obedient even to death. Our death will never save another person, but our death may give glory to God. So at this time, when we celebrate Christmas, let us remember what Christmas actually led to for the Lord Jesus Christ by becoming obedient. God bless us. So let's sing our next hymn before we come to the communion.